We're thankful to God once again that God has blessed us to come out to the place of worship, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We thank God for this beautiful Lord's Day that we so richly enjoy. And the Psalmist David teaches us in the 66th book of Psalms, chapter 16. David says, "Come in here, all ye that fear God." And he said, "I will declare unto you what he has done for my soul." And also Jesus teaches us in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, and verse 24. He teaches us that there is a time of testing will come. And in the verse of Matthew chapter 24, Jesus says, "Therefore," he said, "whosoever heareth these saying of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." He said, "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." And he says in verse 26, "And everyone that heareth these saying of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Brothers and sisters and friends, this morning, we are all builders. We all are building upon eternity. And I hope to God this morning that we all are building upon the everlasting word of God. And so this morning, I have a lesson this morning that is coming from the Bible. And these are the two passages of scripture here that we will study from for the lesson. In the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. In the book of Galatians, chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. But before that we go any further, I would like for us to humble ourselves once again and petition the throne of God as the one has been selected to lead us in prayer. In the book of Colossians, we'll take a look at those passages of scripture there, Colossians chapter 2, and we will start with verse 16 through 17. And this was a warning to the Christian in Colossae. The Apostle Paul said, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in the respect of any holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days." He said, "which are a shadow of things to come." He said, "but the body is Christ." Now, these were some brethren here at this church that were practicing idolatry. And the Apostle Paul warning to them that the old law had passed, and they were not compelled to keep these holidays that they were once celebrating. He said, "Let no one judge you or compel you that you should eat certain things, or to celebrate or to worship different holy days." He tells us that against vain philosophy and keeping the Sabbath day and angel worship was forbidden. So these are the things that was a warning to the church in those days. And so we go to the book of Galatians, and we find something similar also that the Apostle Paul shared with the brethren there in Galatians. Notice in the book of Galatians, and we'll start at verse 8. And as we go through these passages of Scripture, I want us to remember what the Apostle Paul said to the church at Colossians. He said, those things were a shadow of things to come. He said, but the body is Christ. And he teaches them that, and I'm quite sure that we all know what a shadow is. Sometimes that we're walking along on a sunny day and we can look on the ground and we can see our shadow. Now, it's not us. It's not the real you that you're looking at. You're just looking at your shadow. And we can see it sometime in our house. We have the lights on. We're walking by on the wall and we can see our shadows on the wall. It's not the real you. It's just the shadow. But you see, your body is the one that's casting off that shadow. And the Apostle Paul teaches them that when Christ came, there was no longer the shadow, that the real person had come. He said, the body is he. Those things that we just talked about, the vain worshiping, the worshiping of different Sabbath days, all that had gone. The worshiping of angels, all those things had passed. He tells us that the body is Christ now. And this is where you and I have to look, is at the body of Christ and find out what's in the body of Christ. Now notice what he teaches in Galatians chapter 4. And we're going to start with verse 8 of these passages of scriptures. He said, how be it then? He said, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods, with a small g. He said, but now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, the Apostle Paul said, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? He said, ye observe days and months and times and years. The Apostle Paul says, I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. The Apostle Paul was teaching those Galatian Christians that all those things had passed away, but they were began to turn back and trying to serve those old things in the law. And the Apostle Paul taught them, he says that those things are gone. And he said, these brethren also had been practicing idolatry and worship idols. He said, which were not gods with a small g at all. He said, but after that time that they knew not God, they were doing those things. He said, but now after knowing the true God, the God of heaven, he said, how turn ye again back to those things? You see, now that we all know God, these Galatian Christians, Paul said this was signs of they were turning back to those things that they once worshiped. He says that they were weak because they had no spiritual power to strengthen them. He said they were beggarly because they had no rich promises like the gospel. He says that the elements, because they belong to a condition of undeveloped Christians, they went back to their old states and the traditions and things that they once knew. He said, you observe days. And these were the specifications of how they were turning back to the Jewish law. The days were the Jewish Sabbath days that they were turning back to. The months were the new moon. And the new moon was that these were some things that God had prescribed for them to do at the beginning of each month. But those times had passed away, and they were going back to those days. He said the times were the Jewish festivals. He says, and the year were the sabbatical years. These were the customs under the old law that these Galatian Christians were turning back to. But the Bible tells us that the body is Christ now. And you and I and brothers and sisters around this world, we should look into the body of Christ, the gospel, and find out what is in the church Jesus Christ built. Because the shadows of those things now are gone. And that's where we all are to look to, is what is in the body of Christ. I'd just like to say this morning that you and I are coming up on this holiday, or a holy day, as some people say, Christmas. It's a time and season that many of us have engaged in for many years in our life, enjoying the music, the decorations, the lights, and the feeling that this holiday brings to all of us. And we all know that it seems like people are a lot nicer in this time of this season. People speak to you. Normally through the year they don't speak to you. But this season people are a lot friendlier. But we've enjoyed that. And we've enjoyed the decoration, the lights, the gifts, giving of gifts. And I know that at times that when we were celebrating this day, we would give gifts, and sometimes nice gifts. And then someone would give us a gift that wasn't so nice. And there we are mad because they gave us a cheap gift. And you all know all about that, you know, because I've experienced those days. And these are times that we can't deny. And like that of our parents and before us, we never thought of it as being wrong or even questionable. But now knowing it is a season filled with lies, falsehood, deception, and hypocrisy, and yet we did not want to think of it as something being wrong, you know, and we didn't want to give it up. And so we understand this morning, this day, this is a day that's not strange to us. We are very familiar with this time that people are celebrating. But you know, brothers and sisters and friends, as a child, no doubt, this was one of the happiest and most thrilling times of my life when Christmas would come. And around with this gift, candy, fruits, and toys. And when our children were born, we engaged in the same celebration as our parents engaged with us, not knowing that this was a pagan holiday. We didn't know it at that time. But my desire this morning is to inform Christians where this practice originated from that so many people observe. I want to notice a passage of scripture in the book of Hosea, chapter 6. Hosea chapter 6 and verse 6. Notice what that passage of scripture teaches us. Chapter 4 and verse 6. In the book of Hosea, chapter 4, and verse 6, the Bible says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." He said, "Because thou hast rejected knowledge, God said, I will also reject thee. Thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of God, thy God. God said, I will also forget thy children." God said, my people are destroyed due to the lack of knowledge. Now, it's not because that God hasn't told us. If we haven't heard God's word, but God's people were rejecting his word. And he said because that they were rejecting his word, that he said there will be no priest to him. And you know that all of us in the church are priests. You know what the Bible means by there shall be no priest to him? Instead of the priest teaching and leading people in the pathway of righteousness, the priests were going along with the people and not teaching God's word. God said there would be no priest to him. And because of their disobedience, God said he would forget their children. And that's pretty strong, isn't it? I want to just share something also with us, what Moses said about the children. And we look at this in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want to start with verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Notice the instruction that Moses gave to the people of God when they were headed into the land of Canaan. And there were a lot of heathen people in that land that they were headed to possess. Notice what the instruction. And these passages of scripture were given to the parents, those that were the decision makers over the children. Listen to what Moses says. He said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." He said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thine heart and with all of thine soul and with all of thy might." He said, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." And notice what he says. He said, "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall take them with thee when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." He said, teach your children to know God. But you see, we have to know something about God ourselves in order to have this kind of conversation with our children. If we don't know about God, we can't have this kind of conversation with our children. Is that when we're in the house teaching our children about God, when we're sitting down with them, teaching them about God, when we are walking along with them, teaching them to know God, when we rise up in the morning teaching your children about God, you got to know something about God yourself in order to have this kind of conversation with our children. But this is our responsibility as parents, is to teach our children to know God. That's one of the things that Moses talked about this morning. But we see this Christmas holiday that's coming up on us, Christmas is a mixture between paganism and Christianity. And what do I mean by that? Though it maintains the name of Christ, it also maintains the word Mass, with its rituals and elaborate ceremonies and praying for the dead. I want to show us something here. Is that now, this is what the world has done. The world has mixed something holy with something pagan. They use the name Christ and they drop the S and they use the word Mass. And this is what the world has done. They combine these two systems, and we see that since Christ stands for one thing and Mass for many, we can see the attempt to merge two conflicting systems together. The Bible teaches us that Christmas is not in the Bible. So they done. They said Christ, and they dropped the S and made it Christmas. And though that God, through the prophet, said in Ezekiel, and we want to look at this, Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 39. Ezekiel 20 and verse 39. Notice what God said through the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel 20 and verse 39. He says, "As for you, O house of Israel, thus says the Lord God," he says, "go ye, serve ye every one his idol. And hereafter also, if you will not hearken unto me, but pollute ye my holy name no more." And so we can see that this is what the world is doing. It's polluting the name of Christ by connecting it with something of paganism in this world. Polluting the name of Christ, something that is holy. And Ezekiel, through God, spoke to him to tell the people, pollute my name no more. If they want to go and serve the idols, don't pollute my name. And so we can see that this morning as we look at this holiday. And I just want to note something else this morning, that since Christmas is not to be found in the Bible, let us see what the encyclopedias say. Because we're not going to find it in the Bible. Christmas is not in this Bible. Remember what I said earlier? The body of Christ? Christmas is not in the body of Christ. We won't find it in the Bible. But this is what the encyclopedia has to say. The Encyclopedia Britannica, in its 1946 edition, has said it this way. It says, Christmas, i.e., the Mass of Christ. And you can look that up. It says that's what Christmas is, the Mass of Christ. Now, Christ being one, Mass speaks of being many. Now, Christmas was not among the earliest festivals of the church, and therefore Christmas was not instituted by Christ or the apostles, nor that of the Bible. It was picked up afterward from paganism. Because we won't find it in the Bible. But you know what the Apostle Paul teaches us in the book of Acts, chapter 20, and verse 27. The Apostle Paul says that, he said, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsels of God." Do we know what that means? Everything that we need to know that would get us from earth to where God is, Paul said he told us. Everything. He said, "I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsels of God." And we can't find this in the Bible. It's not there. The custom was a form of celebration of Nimrod, a heathen god. Now, this is where this came from, Christmas. It came into the Roman Catholic Church by the 4th century A.D. It was not until the 5th century that the Roman Church had ordered it to be celebrated as the official Christian festival for a Christian festival. Now, for a biblical standpoint, it was the death and not the birth of a person that was remembered. And this was, day was, Christmas was celebrated to remember the pagan god Nimrod. But the Bible teaches us that from a biblical standpoint, you know, the world says, well, they're celebrating Christ's birth. That's what they're doing. Celebrating Christ's birth. From a biblical standpoint, the Bible says that it is the death that we should celebrate. Let us go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we look at some passages of scripture there. And this is concerning the Lord's communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we'll look at verse 26. Notice, the Bible says, the Apostle Paul speaking, the Bible says, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. It is the death that we remember, not the birth. It is the death that we remember, not the birth. It is the death that we remember, not the birth. This is what we do every Lord's Day. We remember his death, not his birth, till he comes. And we can see what's going on out in this world. We see how busy people are out here. And you know, and you look at this morning, you look at us, there's just a few of us here this morning, when something should go off in our mind about this day when we see so many masses of people gravitating toward it. Because, you know, people just don't gravitate to the truth like that. You can't get them here this morning to hear the truth. So a yellow flag should go up in our mind when we see masses of people going after something. We as Christians need to take a look at it. It's the death, not the birth, that we should remember. All right? As I said earlier, the writers say in the 5th century that the Roman church ordered it to be celebrated forever on the birth of Sol, S-O-L, or Saturn, or Nimrod. That's what they ordered. Is this day, December the 25th, to be celebrated forever on this day in remembrance of Sol, S-O-L, or Saturn, or Nimrod, to remember his birthday. Now, doesn't it seem a little strange that if it had been God's plan that we observe or celebrate the birth of his son, that he would have given us a date? Have we thought about that? Isn't that a little strange? That God didn't give us a date to celebrate Jesus' birthday, if that's what he wanted us to do? The Apostle Paul said, I have not to shun to declare unto you all the counsels of God. Everything that we need to know, Paul said, I told you. And we can't find it in the Bible. It's not there. That's a little strange to me that we can't find a time, that a day that God told us to celebrate his birth, and when nothing has been left out for us. It was the Catholic bishop, Liberius, of Rome, not God, that commanded the birth of Christ to be observed on December the 25th. And that was in the year of A.D. 354. A Catholic bishop ordered Jesus Christ's birthday to be celebrated. It's interesting also to note that December 25th was a day of the old Roman feast of the sun gods. Isn't that something? December 25th was the old Roman feast of the sun gods. And not only was Nimrod to be remembered, but Tammuz, Hercules, Adonis, Jupiter, and others. All of them were remembered on December the 25th. All of those people were sun gods with a small g. Now, when Jesus' popularity began to grow as the Son of God, they threw him in the pot with the other so-called sun gods and gave Jesus the same birthday to be observed, December the 25th, threw Jesus in the pot at December the 25th. Many turning to Christ brought the same old pagan sun-worshipping practices as today, clothes in a different name, not so offensive, called Christmas. People brought the same old pagan holidays into the church when they were being brought into the church and obeyed the gospel. But they changed the name. December the 25th, the birthday of the sun gods, was celebrated in Babylon with the feast and drunkenness, as so many celebrate Christmas today. And drunkenness, that's how they celebrate it. They had mixed something holy with something that's pagan. It was from this very feast at Rome that the merrymaking of this season passed into the Roman Catholic Church down to our generation. That celebration of Nimrod on December the 25th. Pass it all down through our generations. Now listen to this. The Roman got the idea of Christmas from the pagans. And we got it from the Romans. Well, if that's what happened, then where did the pagan get it from? If the Roman got it from the pagans, we got it from the Roman Catholic. Where did the pagan get this idea of December 25th from? Brothers, sisters, and friends, it started with Nimrod, the grandson of Ham. Ham's father was named Noah. It started this side of the flood in the original Babylon. That's where it started. Nimrod was so evil. Now, Ham's grandson became so evil that he married his mother. That's evil when you marry your mother. He married his mother. His mother slash. And when Nimrod died, his mother slash wife kept alive the evil doctrine of the survival of the name Nimrod as a spirit. She claimed a full-grown evergreen tree sprang up overnight from a dead stump as a symbol of Nimrod springing forth into new life in the person of Tammuz from the dead. She claimed that on each anniversary of his birth, Nimrod, he would visit the evergreen tree and leave gifts upon it. That's what she perpetrated. Every year, she says that the spirit of Nimrod will come back to that evergreen tree and leave gifts. I'm going to tell you what moved me from this day. Because when we first obeyed the gospel, we heard a passage of scripture. But we were babes in Christ. And that first year we obeyed the gospel, we put up our tree. And we decorated that tree. And we invited the family over. But when they left, Sandy and I, we looked at each other because we already had been cut. And I'm going to tell you something. When you get cut by the Word of God, you just don't leave that wound open to bleed. You bandage that wound up. You do something about it. We were cut from reading that scripture. But we did it anyway. We put that tree up. And when people of our family left, we looked at each other and we said, you know what, we can't do this anymore. And we made a decision that we weren't going to celebrate it. We're going to tell our children the truth. And they were 4 and 6 at the time. And do you know that it didn't hurt those kids at all? Because we made sure that they had the toys and things to play with all year long. It hurt Sandra and I more than did them. Because we didn't want to give it up. But we were cut by the Word of God. And this is what moved me. Is this passage of scripture here in Jeremiah chapter 10. And I'll close with this. Jeremiah chapter 10. And we'll look at verse 1. Down to verse 4. This is what moved us. Notice what Jeremiah said. Jeremiah says that, he said, hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Now we hear, O house of Israel. We're Israel today. We're God's people. That's who we are. So let's hear. The Bible says that, thus says the Lord. It says, learn not the way of the heathens, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathens are dismayed at them. Is that what the Bible says? It says, the custom of the people are vain. Now, this is the great God Almighty from heaven speaking through Jeremiah. And God has given us a description of the heathens. He says that for the customs of the people are vain. He says for one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. When we read that, we were cut to the bone. Great God of heaven, given us a description of the practices of the heathens. And this lesson for us this morning as Christians and sisters, brothers in Christ, as we come up on this holiday, just remember, this is to inform us where this practice came from. It came from a pagan god. And they have mixed something holy with something that's pagan. The lesson is yours this morning. And hopefully something was said from the Word of God this morning that will be helpful in the stirring up of our pure minds, which just calls us just to think as we journey through life. We come to God first by the hearing of His Word. After we hear it, we must believe it. Once we believe it, we must repent. Once we repent, we must make the good confession. And after the good confession, we must be buried in the watery grave of baptism for the remission or the forgiveness of our sins. And we become a child of God. But when we stumble and we fall and make mistakes, and we shame the body of Christ, we are to repent of those sins, confess before the brothers and sisters in Christ that we might be reinstated to the fellowship of our sisters and brothers. If we are subject to this gospel in any manner this morning, while we stand and sing the chosen son, we might come.